wondered wild about Harry.
And we are back with another segment of What You Got with Harry Rinker. I'm Orly Knudsen. Our toll-free telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call anytime, is 1-877-232-4855. We have a great guest coming up.
You know, one of the things I love about any book is I pick it up and say, I had one of those. And our guest today is the author of the fabulous Victrola 45, and I had one of those, Mr. Phil Vortis. Hi, Phil. Welcome to What You Got.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Tell us about the fabulous Victrola 45, because, man, if you grew up in the 50s, this thing was part of your lifestyle.
That's right. RCA Victor came out with these machines and in 1949 and made them through 1958. So if you were a young person at that time, you probably had one in your home. And the book I wrote is divided into three parts, and it tells the history at the beginning of how this all came about. It was supposed to be an improvement over the 78 RPM record, which it certainly was. And then the center of the book gives all the pricing and color pictures of the different models, of which there's hundreds. It's amazing how many.
You know what I have to tell you, Phil, before you go to the third part of your book, I was astonished at how many models of that little 45 they made. I mean, they made everything from things for young kids with young kid themes all the way up to adult versions of that thing.
That's right. And RCA was very smart. They licensed it out so that other manufacturers could use it. So many other companies also used that same 45 machine.
And not only that, it was incorporated with a lot of different things. I saw pictures of radio machines that had a record player, and a radio was part of the deal as well.
Sure. Yeah, they had many models, radio phonographs, they called them. And there was even a model where they put a television set in with it, a little 12-inch television and a 45 player.
Now, you mentioned the third part of your book. You want to talk about that real quickly?
Yeah, the third part is where I show how to restore and repair the units, and I include most of the most common schematics and different techniques that through the years that I've used to repair and rebuild them. And so it's a pretty comprehensive collection of information about these machines.
Okay, now let me ask you some questions about the machine. I mean, I assume value depends almost entirely on whether the machine is working or not. Is that correct?
Well, yes. If the machine is, if it's up in your attic and it's full of dust and it's not working, it certainly isn't worth nearly as much as one that's been restored.
Yeah, and what we're looking at, price range for restored models can be as low as 100 to 100.5 on up from there, right?
Right. Those are for the models without the amplifier in them.
Oh, okay. Right. All right.
And then it's about 200 and up with ones with amplifiers that are from RCA.
Okay. Now I have a question for you. I had one. It worked for a while, and I dug it out a little while ago. It's standard, box-like format with a disc in the center. I mean, it's a very common one, and it's not working. Would it pay me really to buy a working one rather than try to repair Maya?
Well, the repair has gotten a little on the expensive side because the parts you need aren't manufactured anymore. It's usually the rubber parts go bad, and the cartridge goes bad. And because they don't sell the parts anymore, they have to rebuild the existing parts. You can pay $20-$25 to have a rubber wheel replaced, and there's two wheels in a lot of the models.
So
you're up to $50-$60, and then the cartridge is $20 or $30. That's $90.
Plus the time of the person to repair it.
Plus, and then you have to rebuild the amplifier. Usually you change all the capacitors in it, because once capacitors reach 50 years old, they're pretty much very leaky and troublesome.
So,
it's usually over $100 to $150 to really repair one properly.
Yep, and that's almost the that's a good basic starting price for some of the more inexpensive units.
Right.
Now, I want to tell people that I met Phil at a radio meet over at Renninger's a couple weeks ago, and Phil is also very active in the New Jersey Antique Radio Club. You want to tell us a little bit about your club, Phil?
Sure. The New Jersey Antique Radio Club has been in existence since 1992. We have over 200 members, and it's a very active club. I've been the president of it for the last 8 years. We have a terrific website if you'd like to visit it. It's at njarc.org.
Yeah, let me give that out again. Their website is www.njarc.org. It's part of the InfoAge Science History Learning Center, isn't it?
That's right. And this is a wonderful thing that's being started in New Jersey. An old Army base, Camp Evans, has been divided up between education and this learning museum for people in New Jersey. And the New Jersey Antique Radio Club actually has a museum on the premises, and it happens to be on Marconi Road. Now, what could be better than that?
Absolutely.
Radio Club on Marconi Road.
Well, I want to say that I was very impressed with the swap meet, meeting Mark Stein, who's done a number of books on radio. Your book, The Fabulous Victrola 45, published by Schiffer Publishing in 2002, has a list price of $29.95. How can people get a copy, Phil?
Well, one way is you can go to schifferbooks.com and put in my name or the name of the book, and it'll bring it right up for you. You can order it through them.
All right. I also want to mention, too, Phil, that I do put information about the guests that appear on What You Got on my website, which is www.harryrinker.com. www.harryrinker.com. Go up there. You'll find the correct spelling for Phil's name and the complete reference to his book so you can order it. Phil, thanks so much for joining us on What You Got.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. And, you know, Harry, I have one of those 45, what he's talking about, sitting in my garage.
Yeah,
I do, and
my dilemma is the one that everyone faces. I could go out and buy a completely restored one. It would be exactly like the one I own. But you know what the problem is? It's not the one that I owned.
That's right. Well, this
So now I got to look at spending $125 to have it restored, which I may well do because it's mine. That's when you deal with mass production stuff, there's a big difference between what somebody else owned
and what you own. Do you remember also that once in a while on the tone arm you had to put a penny and tape it on there because it would bounce up and down?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, you know what I've been buying? I've been buying up at flea markets some of these old portable 45 units. Remember they? They weren't portable 45. They had two attached speakers, and they played actually the whole gamut, 78s, 45s, and 33s.
Three-speed, sure, right.
Man, I love those kind of things. I'm looking for one in turquoise for my living room, but I got a couple other ones.
Turquoise.
Well, you know, that was one of the things about Phil's book is that, man, one of the things that you looked at there is they had a model for every color scheme that you could have had in your living room. I'll tell you, it's a fun little book, actually.